Moncrief on News Talk.
Apple Music has just published a list of the 100 best albums of all time, which will fit nicely in with the gazillion other lists that do exactly the same thing. And what do these lists have in common? Absolutely nothing. According to Wapple, the best album of all time is The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. A fine album, but the best ever. Tom Dunn and Claire Beck join us now to talk about what a travesty it all is. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Tom, what did you think of it?
Initially, I thought it was really good. I thought it was a good list. It kind of went from rock to hip hop and from Led Zeppelin to SZA. I thought all those things were good. I find often with these lists, the journos lists can be very annoying and just a bit weird. Years ago, Irish Times had Girl Band as the greatest Irish album of all time, which was just a strange choice. Mm. But then I thought this will be good because it's going to be based on their streaming and it'll reflect popular tastes. And I was thinking, God, things haven't changed that much at all. But then I realised it's not that at all. It's Zane Lowe and Nile Rodgers and a few other people. And I've sat down and had an editorial meeting about it. And that's just pants, I think, really. That's taken all of the good out of it for me. And I look at it now and it's just the same old, same old. It's 2024. And we're saying The Beatles is the third best album of all time at Abbey Road. And Thriller at number two. And Stevie Wonder songs in The Key of Life. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black again. Nirvana. It's like Groundhog Day. So I'm a bit disappointed, I won't lie. I think Apple, they're the streaming boys. They should know what's going on. And this is just all wrong, Sean. All wrong.
All wrong. Okay, Claire, did they just do this to annoy people, these things?
I think maybe yes, because I know with the Rolling Stones top 500 album list, that kind of has been updated, I think, three or four times, and they updated it last year. And what they do is they have a panel of industry people, there's loads of people on it, but then they also ask their readers to submit their top 50 albums. There's a lot of involvement, there's a lot of kind of excitement in it, but this just kind of came along and we thought, I love The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, but is it the greatest album of all time? Probably not. But then the whole point of these lists, and I think the reason people do them, is so that people have these discussions. There's nothing better than sitting around on a bar stool and arguing about music with people. Excuse to do that.
Now, I'll read out some names of artists. Now, this does skew, I suppose, a bit older. The Who, Sly and the Family Stone, Frank Sinatra, Van Morrison, Tom Petty, Paul Simon, with or without Garfunkel, Johnny Cash, Queen, Ray Charles, Willie Nelson, Elvis Presley, Elvis Costello, James Brown, Al Green, Billie Holiday, R.E.M., Muddy Waters, Randy Newman, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Curtis Mayfield, Leonard Cohen. None of them are on that list.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's absolutely shocking, Sean.
Yes. I just think that there's no...
Well, I mean, you know, you could say probably many of those people have popped out one album you could say was significant.
Yeah.
I would have said R.E.M. It's amazing they're not on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is strange. It's also, I think it's quite a USA-centric list as well. Like, I know Zane is Kiwi, but they've been kind of over there. He's been over there for a long time. And I think if it was done in Europe or in Ireland, like, the list would be very different. I just don't think you can possibly agree on one or even 10 best albums of all time because it's so subjective.
Yeah.
And like, they hoofed in one Taylor Swift album, 1989 Taylor's version is in there, you know, but I don't know, is that a bit, oh, we better put one in because she's broken all the record? I don't know.
That's not even Swifties' favourite Taylor Swift album.
I know. Yeah. You could do probably a top 100 Taylor Swift songs and everyone could argue over that on the internet. That'd be a great day to be online.
It feels like, though, they kind of thought, we'll take some things from, you know what it feels like? It was a panel of people who actually weren't particularly invested in any sort of music.
Yeah.
That was like granddads picking modern music and then young people picking old music.
Yeah.
The granddads thing I thought was very dated. I couldn't get over it. Are they all, I don't know what age Zane Lowe is and stuff. I know Nile Rodgers is getting on now. It just seems very old fashioned kind of list. And I just went online on Spotify to see what the really big popular albums are. Bad Bunny, what, 16.5 billion downloads, or Ed Sheeran, 14.8 streams, The Weeknd, 14.1 billion, Post Malone. None of those, you know, are on there. You go down as far as number 34, we find you get SZA, who's actually, you know, streaming in huge numbers. So it seems very out of touch, which for Apple, which you would have thought is surely the most in touch thing of everything, it's just a bit disappointing again.
Though, is size important here, Tom?
Hugely important, absolutely. You know, the key is in the popular side of things. You know, there's a reason people are popular. And I think it's supposed to be everything in life is supposed to be about popular music. That's what it's all about. You're supposed to have hits that everybody sings and the milkman whistles and all of those things.
Yeah.
And that's it. Keeps a little kind of, if you want to keep in touch with it, it keeps you in touch with what's going on in modern culture. And that's really interesting. And I know from listening to my kids that SZA is the only one from that list that's really, I think, quite brilliant. And new and now. So, and she's very low down. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, keep in touch with things. And this just doesn't seem in touch.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I was just going to say SZA is by far the youngest album on it. It came out last year. And then after that, I think it's Frank Ocean Blonde, which came out in 2016.
Mm. Not his best album, even.
No. And then Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City, 2012, older than I thought it was.
Not That's his one best of those album that, either.
You know,
not his best album. No, yeah.
But again, best subjective. Like, Tom, if you were to do ask your radio listeners for their top 100, it would be completely different because their taste would skew probably towards your taste because they're fans
absolutely.
Of you, you know.
It'd be Boy Genius and Purple Mountain.
This is it.
And Lancome. It'd be so different.
But here's the thing. Here's a question for both of you. This is the best album of all time. Mm-hmm. And does the album as a musical concept still really exist anymore in that a band or an artist goes into the studio and records a load of tracks, throws some of them out, then spends a lot of time and energy going into putting them in order and what story they're trying to tell? Let's say Lemonade is an album, but a lot of artists on Apple, and Apple pushes this, don't want them to make albums. They just want to flog individual songs.
I love an album. I love it as a format. I hope it'll never die. Now, it's very different. It used to be, I was only talking about this with someone last night, actually arguing about music, sitting on a bar stool.
Yeah.
But it used to be, you know, singles would be coming out and there'd be hype about an album. There'd be a 6-week lead in. You could only hear it on the radio, see the video on MTV. But now, you know, everything drops at the same time. And you have these, as well as the singles, you have what's called an instant grat, so songs that will appear on the Spotify release list for that day. And it all kind of comes together. But I think that the album as a format is still so, so important. And you have artists like Beyonce and SZA who will still, it's very much you need to listen to it in order. The singles like aren't going to cut it.
Hmm.
So I think, yes, very important.
Yeah, I do too. I think the idea of a body of work is just too ingrained in artists' heads. When you start to write songs, it's in you to write like 12 or 20 songs and see if two of them are singles and the rest all sit together. And then you release that as a body of work. I think that's just ingrained. We were all, let's face it, up to recently, we were waiting for the new Beyonce album. We were surprised at the release of the new Taylor Swift album. And they're released as an album like This Is Me Today, where I'm saying like I've kind of gone into a country world and this is my identity at the moment. It creates all those talking points around that. I think that's just ingrained in music. It's how the whole industry thinks. So once you start writing songs, you think about, I'll put a body of them together and it will be an album and it'll be me and this year and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Singles are still obviously.
Yeah. Huge. So was the Tortured Poets Department an album or just a rake of songs?
I don't want any Swifties to come for me, so I don't think we'll get into this now.
I got 5 songs in and I found 2 songs I really liked, but I found that was enough for me. I said, I'll save the rest of this for another day. Who knows? I could break a leg or something and have time on my hands to listen to the rest of it.
Yeah.
So,
And you mentioned country. One country artist, Kacey Musgraves, at 85.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's an awful lot.
Particularly
really does.
At the moment, because country is having such a resurgence. Like, there's all these artists like Morgan Wallen breaking through, and it's really crossing over to the mainstream. And then there's the whole debate about, that's not a country album from Beyonce. It's great. The discourse is great at the moment. You can have loads of chats with people. But you know, the Taylor Swift, the Poets album, I just think it's too long. I don't think you need to listen to it in one go. But Tom mentioned Lancome there. I would never put on one Lancome song. I will put on a Lancome album and I will have a great time listening to
absolutely.
It front to back, because that's the way it's designed to.
Well, also,
speaking of country,
I
went on, you know, the country station in America that banned Beyonce when it came out. And then I listened to them for a day. They're an absolutely fascinating station altogether. And they're like something from, I don't know, the mid 1970s. It was just incredible.
That's most of the country, Tom.
Their main prize, the thing you could win, their equivalent to the cash call, was your own tornado shelter, which a listener would win their own tornado shelter, and somebody would come to your house
it's
and
practical.
Actually dig under.
It's practical. It's in Texas. Local. Yeah.
They're a big thing. Tornadoes are a big thing in Texas, as mentioned in Beyonce's album. So it makes sense.
What's the music like? Out of interest, are they playing George Strait back to back? Like what kind of age are we talking?
The kind of cliches going on of the guy heading out in his truck with a six pack of beer on the seat beside him because his woman doesn't understand him. That has not gone out of vogue. That is still absolutely huge and very emotional stuff, like, you know, taking your son out and talking about praying about the day you're going to meet daddy again in heaven and this kind of, it's just parallel universe.
Isn't there also a thing, though, if we're talking about, if they're making a list of all time, should it not be fair to take into consideration the context of the time? Because, you know, the Beatles are in the top 10 there for the time they were revolutionary. So, you know, if you were to say what's the greatest invention of all time, like the space shuttle will always top the telescope.
Yeah.
But they were centuries apart, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'd say maybe albums that changed the direction of music is where you'd go there. Yeah. And there's an obvious one here that's not on. The Velvet Underground's debut album is not here. And it's regarded as the most influential album of all time. Not that it sold much at the time, but that everyone who listened to it formed a band. And many of those bands are on this list. So that kind of stuff is jarring as well. And yeah, you could drive a truck through many of the holes in this list, couldn't you?
with your rifles in the back. Tom, thanks a million. And thanks to Claire Beck as well. Thanks also to Betty, Claire's dog, who's been in the studio with us and has been very good.
She's been very good. Now, I have her. I only have her a week, so she's kind of coming everywhere with me. But you probably heard her scratching there. She just wanted to object. Led Zeppelin 4 is her favourite album.
Rather than 2,
It opens with Black Dog, and she's a Black Dog. So there you go.
Good enough. That's subjective, but fair comment. All right. Claire and Tom, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.